My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General William Jerry Boykin. He is now Executive Vice President at the Family Research Council. He joins me today to update the case of Monifa Sterling, a Lance Corporal in the United States Marine Corps who was reprimanded for posting Bible verses at her workstation. She was ordered to remove the verses and eventually court-martialed for not doing so. She challenged the order in court under her First Amendment rights, but ultimately lost. Now Sterling is appealing to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. The oral arguments for that appeal were held on Wednesday, and General Boykin was in the courtroom for those arguments. Sir, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much, and I'm delighted to be with you.
Thank you, sir. What was your sense of how the court was receiving the arguments today? Obviously, there had already been one legal setback for Lance Corporal Sterling. What was the vibe you got from the judges in the room today?
Not being a lawyer, but having been surrounded by lawyers in there the day, and we discussed it afterwards, it came across that there were five judges there, and two of them, you know, in my view, and I think the assessment of the lawyers that were there with me, was that two of them were supporting the actions of the Marine Corps. Two of them were supporting the defendant, Monifa Sterling. And the chief judge was held his cards very close to his chest. So we kind of came out thinking that the decisive vote will be the chief judge there.
Let's talk about the big picture here. If, in fact, she loses, what's the impact on religious freedom, particularly in the military?
I'll tell you what this says is that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is a federal statute, is not going to be applied in a just way within the military. That military readiness or military good order and discipline will trump this legislation. I think that this is a precedent setter. I think that in fact, if they uphold her appeal and she is exonerated on this, that it's a strong message to all of the military that you must protect the religious rights of service members. On the other hand, if it is upheld and the government decision stands and she is special court martial stands, I think that it portends that the situation in the military with regards to religious freedom is going to decline.
One of the things we've noticed in recent months is the military granting exemptions based on religious freedom. For example, I believe for Sikhs to wear turbans in the military. So if, in fact, her appeal is denied here, does that suggest to you that the military is not interested in religious freedom or it's just very selective?
Oh, I think it's the latter. I think it's selective. I think if she had been anything other than a Christian, this would have been one of those situations in which political correctness would have been the dominant factor. But because she was a Christian, I think that they felt very comfortable with infringing on her First Amendment rights. And that sounds like I'm trying to make Christians sound like victims, but I'm pointing out a reality.
How is she holding up as far as you can tell?
As far as we know, I talked to her lawyer, and he believes that she's doing okay. This difficult situation, this is a very unusual young lady. She was a Lance Corporal or an E3 for those who understand military rank structure. She has a college degree, and she is so she came in the United States Marine Corps with an attitude of wanting to serve. So she didn't come in just because she was looking for a job, as many people like to think. And she is, in fact, a very committed Christian, and that's what she was standing for. She was standing for her First Amendment rights when all of this occurred. You know what's even more important, though? 36 years in the Army, I've seen it all. I've never seen anybody go to a bad conduct special court-martial for something like this. Normally, you handle this with non-judicial punishment. You bring them in, and you give them the option of a court martial, where they can take non-judicial punishment, and then you give them, a fine, or you give them some time, doctor pay in some way, or you give them some other minor punishment, really, restriction to their barracks and that type of thing. I've never seen a case like this that went to a bad conduct special court. So I think, frankly, that the leaders in the Marine Corps, certainly those that were dealing with her situation, were trying to send a message to the other Marines.
General, a couple of quick follow-ups on this. You and I have talked before about your frustration with military leaders these days not standing up to the administration on issues like gays and transgenders in the military, the restrictions on chaplains, and so forth. Did this surprise you from the Corps, or was this just the next inevitable step in what you consider political correctness running amok in the military these days?
Yeah, actually, it does surprise me from the Corps. The Corps is our smallest branch, but I think, as we all know, the Corps has really maintained historically some rock-solid leadership and leaders that were willing to stand up and leaders that have shown a lot of moral courage. And I must tell you, Greg, honestly, I'm looking for what I'm really asking myself, what has happened? What's happened to all our military? What's happened to the leadership in our military? And why are they so willing to compromise on such fundamental things? Remember this. Every member of the military takes an oath to the Constitution, not to the president. They take an oath to the Constitution. Even though Article 2 makes the president the commander-in-chief, their ultimate obligation is to the Constitution. And that Constitution, in the First Amendment, is very clear in terms of the constitutional rights of every service member to practice their faith. And frankly, if you are in a faith that is inconsistent with the Constitution, that's not protected, and you shouldn't be in the Marine Corps or any other branch for that matter. But their obligation is to the Constitution, and I don't think it's been upheld here.
So why do you think the officers are refusing to honor that oath?
I think that what we're seeing is an all-out assault on religious liberty in the military. Now, you ask why, and the reason is America is becoming a Marxist nation, and I say that and get criticized, but okay, so how many people are supporting Bernie Sanders right now? You know, what's the enthusiasm level for Bernie Sanders? America is becoming a Marxist nation. Karl Marx said that my objective is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. He also said that religion is the opiate of the masses. You cannot move through the socialist pathway to a full Marxism unless you destroy this idea of unalienable rights, rights that come from God. You do that by destroying people's ability to openly worship their God. That's what our founding fathers gave us, was unalienable rights and consent of the governed. So I think that what you're seeing is you've got to change the military or you can't change society. And that's what this administration is all about, supported by big money from people like George Soros. And everybody wants to think this is all conspiracy theory until you look at the facts. And the reality is the Obama administration is pushing a Marxist agenda here. And it's hard now to deny it with Bernie Sanders getting so much support.
Last topic, General, for those who would defend the Corps here and the administration and some of its practices, their argument often is that, well, you've signed up for the service, you're a subordinate, therefore you have to follow orders. Do you have to lay aside some of your rights in order to be a member of the armed forces?
Well, in fact, you do. You do not have the right to go out and openly campaign with a political candidate. And there are restrictions on your freedom of speech when it comes to criticizing the commander-in-chief. Those are made very clear when you come into the military. But what it does not require you to do is sacrifice your First Amendment right to the freedom of religion. And you are supposed to be able to exercise your religion. That's the most fundamental of all our rights. And remember, that's the First Amendment. It's the first freedom articulated in the First Amendment, and that is not to be sacrificed as a member of our military.
General, sobering. We'll watch for a decision, which I believe is coming up this summer, most likely. Thank you very much for your time today.
I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, now Executive Vice President at the Family Research Council. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.